This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we've got the phone lines open for you for the entire show here for the rest of the morning until 10 o'clock when, of course, then we'll pass it off to our friends with the nationally syndicated programs. But Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I got a lot to talk about, but we want to hear what you want to talk about as well. So give us a ring, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. Now, most days I'll kick off the conversation, I'll start yapping about something, and we'll take a quick break, give you a chance to call in, and then we'll get to your phone calls. But we've already got a caller on the phone lines ready to sound off, so let's kick off the program with one of your phone calls. Jim in Billings first up. Jim, thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you.
Good morning, Aaron. So I actually have just a couple quick questions I'd like to get your thoughts on. One, is Chuck Schumer inciting an insurrection in another country? And number two, should we be boycotting Tyson Foods, Tyson Chicken?
Sure sounds like it, doesn't it? Sure sounds like it on both. Yeah, first off, on Chuck Schumer, how outrageous was this for Chuck Schumer, the Democrat Senate leader, to interfere in the Israeli elections on the floor of the United States Senate and call for our government to interfere in their elections and to undermine really somebody who is like a Winston Churchill of our time in Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and to undermine an American ally, stab an American ally in the back while they're in the middle of a war against these terrorists who committed the worst attack on Jewish civilians since the Holocaust.
Well, I agree. I mean, I didn't get to hear the whole thing, but you don't need to hear much of that speech. And I don't know if it's even time for an election in Israel, but it sounds like he's calling for a special election to get rid of him. And
yeah,
we know what we would do as a country if somebody else was interfering in our political system. That's against the law, and I'm sure they have the same issues.
Well, you know, Mitch McConnell, is normally too buddy-buddy with Chuck Schumer, but even Mitch McConnell tore into Chuck Schumer following those remarks. I'll tell you about that here in a second. Senator Steve Daines weighing in on what Schumer had to say as well. And then Tyson Foods, yeah, shutting down American jobs, but then now they want to hire these illegals in New York.
Well, it's coming here. But people got to know that. It is coming here. We're so complacent to just stand around and watch this stuff happen. You know, we watch Russia fill up the borders around Ukraine for 2 months with tanks and rockets and other equipment, and they just kept telling us, oh, it's all for show, nothing's going to happen. And, you know, they just lull you to sleep. It's coming here. People need to know that.
No, that's right. What a wake-up call to kick off the 8 o'clock hour of the program. Jim, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, you really teed up some important topics for our open phone show here this morning. So we'll talk about that and more coming up after this. Plus, we got a caller on the line from Kalispell, a caller from Ballantyne, and phone lines open for you.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, absolutely shameful by Chuck Schumer, what he is doing here to knife one of our allies in the back, to knife an incredible leader like Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu in the back, in the middle of a war, in the middle of a war against these Hamas terrorists that committed the worst attack on Jewish civilians since the Holocaust. And here is Chuck Schumer stabbing our allies in the back, interfering in a foreign election in the middle of a war against terrorists.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has lost his way.
He's been too willing to tolerate the civilian toll in Gaza, which is pushing support for Israel worldwide to historic lows. Israel cannot survive if it becomes a pariah.
Schumer. Israel cannot survive if it becomes a pariah, then why are you and Joe Biden and the rest of your political party trying to turn them into a pariah? Right? That's exactly what they're trying to, instead of standing in support, standing in unity with America and her allies, they are stabbing our allies in the back and turning our allies into a pariah. Does that word pariah sound familiar? Of course it does, because remember, Donald Trump was building historic peace agreements between Israel and Arab country after Arab nation after Arab nation to Arab nation. But see, Joe Biden wanted to undermine Donald Trump, so Joe Biden wanted to turn Saudi Arabia into a pariah. And now here we are on the brink of World War III. Oh, they want to create a lot of pariahs out there, but why don't they create pariahs of America's enemies instead of pariahs of America's friends? Jim in Billings, thanks for calling in and bringing that topic up this morning. Real quickly, before I get to our next caller, here's part of what Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell had to say in response.
It is grotesque and hypocritical for Americans who hyperventilate about foreign interference in our own democracy to call for the removal of a democratically elected leader of Israel.
All right. And Senator Steve Daines says this, complaining about foreign interference in American elections while calling for new elections in Israel, especially while it is in the middle of an existential war, is hypocritical and a dangerous new low in American foreign policy. Israel's government is 15 months into a four-year term, and the war it is waging is Israel's fight, not just Prime Minister Netanyahu's. The call for new elections is a cynical ploy to placate the American left, as our own election is just months away. President Biden should immediately disavow Senator Schumer's progressive pandering. Not doing so further weakens our standing in the world and emboldens our enemies. I don't know if Tehran John Tester has issued a response yet or not. Doubtful, though. Doubtful. Steve in Ballantyne next up on the phone line. Steve, what's going on?
Morning, Aaron. Okay, I've listened. Okay, this Ken Buck thing out of Colorado. I've listened a little bit to Bongino, and I just can't understand. I just don't got it. I don't understand how it works on the special election and stuff. But there's some, I think she's a Republican congressman out of Colorado that is going to apparently run for his seat. But he stepped down at, I don't know, as of today or maybe next week, but it was like going to be real soon.
Yeah, the 22nd, I think, is when this Ken Buck out of Colorado, yeah, I mentioned it earlier in the week. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry to sound harsh, but what a wimp. Oh, I mean, come on, you know, stabbing your own party in the back here, leaving Congress early, you know, give me a break, man. You know, you signed up to do the job. You got elected to do the job. Finish out your term, especially with such a slim majority right now.
Well, right. And they were the gal that was on with Bongino, you know, the like I said, I think it was a congresswoman, you know, she's out of Colorado. But anyway, they were talking about the Colorado law or whatever, that the special election and the normal election are going to be held, done on the same day. And I just don't get it. And it's, you know, so she's reaching out to anyone to get to the elections office or whoever's in charge of special elections and hold it like now. But apparently it sounded like from what they were talking that the Democrat Party is probably the one that talked him in to doing it immediately. That way it gives them an upper hand and they could possibly try to win that seat.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me.
I don't understand how it works.
Wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he's working on selling out to the swamp and becoming the big CNN contributor, although not that they get as many views as they used to, right? But, yeah, no, it's just absolutely shameful how many people like this guy just go there and just want to cash in and just cash in and sell out the very people who put them in that position to begin with. But, yeah, Lauren Boebert is her name. She was interested in running for that, but she's in a seat right now, and then she's looking at running for a different seat following, I think, redistricting, if I'm not mistaken. And so it's like, okay, what do you do? And so that's why she's like, okay, well, if I run for this, then I'm out of that. And so it's just a mess. I did see a guy that we've actually interviewed on this show here before. I did see that I think he is going to run in that special election. I hope he's got a good shot at winning it. John Fabricatori is his name. He's a former ICE field office director for the state of Colorado and the state of Wyoming. And, you know, we've talked with him about the refugee situation and the illegal alien invasion and more. And so he sounds great. So I hope he's got a shot at winning that seat down there. John Fabricatori, again, is his name, if you got any friends in Colorado.
Right, so I can't understand, why would you give up one seat to get to the other seat? I don't get it. That's what I don't understand then. Why would you give up a position and then take it? Oh, is she giving up a seat at all state election stuff to go to the feds? Or,
no, it's one congressional seat versus another. It's pretty complex. Far too complex for me to wrap it up in 2 seconds before our next break here. But either way, appreciate the phone call, Steve. Thank you.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I was going to get to Sean in Kalispell earlier. I think Sean's running for, a state house seat there in the Flathead? Yeah, Sean, I was going to get to your call earlier, but we lost your phone call, so call back in if you still want a chance at being heard, not just across the Flathead, but across Montana, 406-294-0970. Or you can even send us a quick message on the Montana Talks app as well. Want to get to a big Montana story here before I jump right back into the phone lines. Just devastating news that broke yesterday when this press release came out. David Erickson, I believe with the Missoulian, David Erickson, a Missoulian reporter, shared this via X yesterday afternoon around 5:03 p.m. Huge news out of Sealy. Pyramid Mountain Lumber, the town's largest employer for 75 years, is shutting down. Largest employer for 75 years is shutting down. Just devastating news for our friends and listeners in Sealy Lake and really for the whole state of Montana. Montana Television Network had this in their opening paragraphs. After providing jobs to the Sealy Lake community for 75 years, Pyramid Mountain Lumber will shut down its operation this spring. In a press release sent Thursday afternoon, Pyramid Mountain Lumber officials cite labor shortages, lack of housing, unprecedented rising costs, plummeting lumber prices, and the cost of living in western Montana to cripple Pyramid's ability to operate. So just a sad, devastating news out of Sealy Lake. That's why I've just said, you know, as we've had, you know, new business news, you know, announcements coming to the state of Montana, you know, folks, don't look a gift horse in the mouth, because things can change. They can turn on a dime just like that. So Senator Steve Daines sent out this statement shortly after the news broke. This is devastating news for the Sealy Lake community and all of Montana. Pyramid Mountain Lumber has been a leader in common sense land stewardship efforts, provided many good paying jobs, and contributed to the wood products economy since 1949. Montana cannot afford to keep losing sawmills. And Congressman Ryan Zinke also has a statement here. Let's see. I had it in front of me. I'll track that down for you and share that here in just a few minutes. But devastating news for our friends in Sealy Lake. Okay, back into the phone lines we go here. Let's see. Georgia in Billings next up. Georgia, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Yes, there was a fellow earlier that talked about immigration, and it's coming to our area. I want people to be aware that I personally have experienced Dinklage, which is a feedlot in Nebraska, been there for many, many years, get sold, and when it sold, all the employees were fired, had to rehire, and they immigrants from India to run the facility. This has been sub by the government, everything from bringing them over to housing. Also happened here in Montana. Right close to Billings here, a feedlot ranch that basically has brought in a bunch of Indians again from India to run a feedlot and ranch and being subsidized by the government for, you know, the bringing them over, the pay, and the housing. So that meant lots of jobs for Montanans there, same way with that in Nebraska. It's coming, and I don't understand why we have to subsidize this in the agriculture community.
Well, in some instances, yeah, if the ag community doesn't have enough workers willing to do the jobs here locally, I know they try to leverage legal programs to bring folks legally to help fill some of those jobs. So that's one conversation. And, George, I appreciate hearing your thoughts. Thanks for calling. But, of course, the other story that you referenced there that our earlier caller had mentioned is this big news from Tyson Foods. Tyson Foods closing one of its plants in Perry, Iowa, eliminating more than 1,200 jobs in the process. But guess what Tyson Foods is now going to do? They just eliminated 1,200 American jobs for American citizens. Now they are going to hire a bunch of illegals currently living in New York City. Wait till you hear what Ohio Senator J.D. Vance had to say about that on Jesse Waters' program last night. I got another angle I want to share with you here in a few minutes. First, let's go back into the phone lines. Next up on the phone lines, what an incredible phone call here. We got a great phone call yesterday from our friends in Malta that just hosted a big fundraiser. They did an event honoring first responders in Malta, Montana, and then all of the proceeds from that went to the family of Sergeant Nevada Krinke, the Montana native, the fallen law enforcement officer, the Sheridan, Wyoming police officer who was killed in the line of duty, leaves behind a wife and a six-month-old baby. So all the proceeds from that Malta fundraiser are going to the Krinke family. That was the fundraiser in Malta earlier this week, and Tony called in from Malta yesterday, gave us an update on that. That was incredible. Well, now we have Sergeant Krinke's brother, Jeremy Shea, back on the phone lines with us from Bozeman. Jeremy, what an honor to hear from you again. You had your big fundraiser in Ennis. How did that go?
Yeah, the fundraiser we had was a great success. There was a ton of people that came. Obviously people from Ennis, but when I got a chance to get out of the kitchen a little bit, I went out and spoke to some people, and I saw some people from Billings and Helena, Bozeman, Idaho Falls. I mean, it was people from all over had come, which was incredible.
Wow. So they drove to Ennis. So they could have donated online, which is great too, right? But they wanted to be there in person supporting the fundraiser.
Yeah. It was crazy because we typically have a line in the drive-through and not many people inside. And that day, we didn't hardly have anybody in the drive-through. Almost everybody came inside, and there's a line going out the door most of the day. And people were just hanging out in there and just wanting to talk and talk to the family and stuff like that.
That's incredible. And that was last Saturday, right? Yeah, March 9th. Yeah, yeah. And so what stood out? Something that somebody said or conversations or anything in particular that stood out to you from that day, aside just from the massive show of support from people all across Montana?
It was interesting. One of the couples I talked to that was there, they weren't in uniform, but they're both in law enforcement, I found out. And in Bozeman, and she had told me that she had talked to Nevada like 2 weeks before this, because they had a stolen vehicle here in Bozeman, and they had recovered it in Sheridan, and it was just funny, you know, it's just a small world, and so that was pretty cool. Justin Sheridan. So.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully successful financially as well to provide financial support to his family. What can people do, you know, for folks that maybe missed the fundraiser last Saturday, missed the fundraiser in Malta earlier this week? What can they do to continue showing their support for Nevada's wife and baby?
We still have the QR code still works. That's on that poster that I think he posted on the website.
Yeah.
So that QR code still works if somebody wants to give online. If somebody wants to, would rather talk to somebody and or send something in, they're welcome to call myself or my daughter who's also on that poster. But yeah, I can give you my phone number if that works.
Yeah, or even do they just call, you know, just because they can probably remember the name Sure Shot Coffee Company in Ennis. Would that be the an easy way, too, just to call the Sure Shot Coffee Company in Ennis?
Yeah, that would work. So, yeah, we're open from like 7 to 2 every day, so they could call it in. But, yeah, so we, just to give you an idea what we did, I didn't know what to expect as far as how much money we'd make, but I mean, a good day for us a really, really good day would be like 3,000 in sales. And so, we weren't sure what we were going to get, but, we ended up raising just on Saturday, we raised $15,000.
Wow.
And then we've had other people give checks since then. So we're over 20,000 right now is what we've raised for the family, which is incredible.
That's incredible. And then I think Malta just raised $6,000 is what we heard yesterday in the small town of Malta. You know, it's just so incredible. But, wow, well, I'll tell you what, I think that just shows how appreciative, you know, folks are of all law enforcement and understanding how important it is that we recognize those who pay the ultimate price for our safety and for our security. And so I hope his family's feeling the love and especially long after all of the attention appears to fade away when the times can really get tough.
Yeah. It's difficult for us right now. I mean, I guess my brother died doing what he loved doing. Pretty much his entire adult life he spent putting himself in harm's way, whether he was over in Afghanistan or in Sheridan, Wyoming. It's been difficult, but it's, I guess, comforting knowing that that he doing something that he loved and that he believed in.
And serving the people that love him in return. Yeah, well said.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we had Lucas Schubert next up on the phone lines in Kalispell, but I checked in with him during the break. He's got to run into an event right now as we speak, so he's running into a political event right now as we speak. So he said he'll call back around 9:30. I was like, hey, that'll work because we got the phone lines open all the way up until 10 a.m. So, yeah, Lucas, feel free to call back then. And then for the rest of you out there, feel free to call in right now. We've got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. Speaking of the messages, I think Barb in Lakeside and Rich in Belgrade, I think they have the answer for Steve in Ballantyne. Steve in Ballantyne asked a good question, and I've been reading, you know, news stories about the Colorado congressional race and Ken Buck resigning early, and what's he doing to try to lock Lauren Boebert out of the race and much more. And so I didn't really have the best answer for Steve right at the tip of my tongue. I kind of generally have an idea what's going on there, but I didn't want to misspeak. So I just kind of gave a general response. But I think based off of everything that I've read thus far, going off of memory, I think Barb in Lakeside has the answer. I think Rich does as well. Barb in Lakeside says this: the redistricting of Representative Boebert's current House seat caused her to move to another seat. This trick by Buck is an attempt to keep her out of the U.S. House. Sounds very catty, doesn't it, Barb? It's just like, you know, but that's what you get with these guys like Ken Buck that, you know, never Trumper. He also, interestingly enough, was one of the eight who voted to oust Kevin McCarthy. And so it just seems like this guy is just in it for himself, and he'll stick a knife in anybody else's back for his own self-interest and his own personal agenda. And now he's sticking his own constituents. He's knifing them in the backs now too, leaving early, et cetera. But Rich in Belgrade added this. Lauren is in District 3. She's running for District 4, which is Buck's district, because it's a more likely district to win. It's a red district. Buck leaving immediately puts the district into a special election. 3 months or so are required for the running of the special election. If Boebert wants to run in the special election, she has to vacate her current seat, which would leave the Republicans down another vote in the House. Yeah, I think you're spot on there, Rich. I think that's why when I briefly mentioned this story earlier in the week, I made the point that she is doing what is in the best interest of her constituents. She is doing what is in the best interest of her Republican majority in the House. She could have stepped down, but she would be putting the whole party at a disadvantage. So whereas you got Buck looking out for his own self-interest, I think you know, Lauren is looking out for the interest of her country right now. Let's see. Rich in Belgrade adds this. So she has to stay in for now and is asking the vacant seat committee to put a placeholder candidate in the special election until Election Day so that we don't lose a seat and she can stay in through the election. You know, this is a... I was kind of wondering something on a similar, you know, that there's been so much back and forth in the Senate race here in Montana, so much back and forth in the House race here in Montana. And there was all sorts of rumors and speculation that were flying around. But it did raise the question, well, what would happen if something like that happened in Montana right now? You know, and hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully that doesn't happen. I haven't seen any indication that it would happen. But what would happen if a similar, you know, stepping down early happened with one of our members of Congress in Montana? And so the most recent example we would have to follow of what happens is, I believe it was in 2017, when now Governor Greg Gianforte ran in the special election here in Montana back in 2017 and won that special election, of course, and probably got more votes after his interaction with the UK Guardian reporter. Boy, people sure seem to like that. I think it got him more votes, as the gas station attendee told NBC News in Bozeman that day. But anyway, if I'm not mistaken, so that was when Congressman Ryan Zinke, who was the congressman for the whole state at the time, he had to step down because he was tapped to become the Interior Secretary by President Donald Trump. So he had to step down as the member of Congress so he could be sworn in as the Interior Secretary. That triggered then basically 90 days until a special election. And the party had to have like a nominating convention, and so the parties had to vote through an internal party process on who the nominee would be, and then we the people got to vote in a special election. And so something kind of like that is what it sounds like they're having to do down in Colorado. But yeah, I mean, think about how crazy that would be if you had a special election in Montana running simultaneously with the normal actual primary election. Do the candidates that are running for the normal election also run for the special election? Who does the party choose somebody that maybe the people wouldn't choose? And then how does that square off? Hey, anyway, it'd just be crazy. But we've seen all sorts of crazy already, haven't we? 2940970, the number for you. Real quick, that Tyson Foods story that we talked, we had a couple callers mention it. Georgia and Billings just mentioned it. Tyson Foods closing one of its plants in Perry, Iowa, eliminating more than 1,200 jobs in the process. Meanwhile, Bloomberg News is reporting that Tyson Foods will join the Tent Partnership for Refugees and will look to hire some of the more than 180,000 illegal aliens currently in New York City. Listen to what Ohio Senator J.D. Vance had to say with Jesse Waters last night.
Jesse, think about how much of a contrast this presents between the Trump economy and the Biden economy. If you go back to the Trump economy, you had American jobs going to American workers. You had wages rising. Under the Biden economy, you have those American workers getting fired and replaced with foreign labor. This is not an exaggeration. All net job creation, Jesse, you heard me right, 100% of net job creation under the Biden administration has gone to the foreign-born. So we are taking an economy that produced prosperity for American citizens and turning it into an economy that produces prosperity for people who probably shouldn't be here in the first place. And I bet you know what Tyson isn't doing, Jesse. I bet they're not drug testing the illegal immigrants who are coming in. I bet they're not asking whether they're bringing fentanyl or drugs into that small town with them. This is the end of the American dream if we let this stuff happen. We've got to reelect Donald Trump, and we've got to get congressional Republicans with some spine to push back against this stuff.
All right, well said there by J.D. Vance. Let's go to Jeff and Polson. Jeff, what's your thoughts on this whole Colorado special election, et cetera?
Morning, Aaron. Yeah, I used to live in Colorado Springs, which is El Paso County's kind of the core of the 4th Congressional District there. And And I think the takeaway for this is that, well, first of all, Ken Buck has been a great disappointment. But second of all, without having to go into all the arcane rules and everything, Buck's resignation brings us down to a one-vote minority or majority.
On major issues.
Right. And if Lauren Boebert has to resign hers and in order to run for that district, that essentially puts the speaker's gavel in Joaquin Jeffries' hands. That's the big takeaway for people in Montana, is that because of what Ken Buck has done, it could end up, if she wasn't a principled person and was just out for her own interests like Buck is.
Yeah, she might do it, yeah.
She could put the gavel into Jeffries' hands. Now, she's not going to do that. She said publicly she's not going to do that, and good for her. But that's the kind of nonsense that Ken Buck has caused, is that she can't even run for the district she wants to run in because that would put the Congress and the House of Representatives in jeopardy.
Yeah. So then they get a six-month placeholder member of Congress for that district to then likely be replaced by somebody who then gets elected to be the actual holder of the seat. And it's just like all because of this guy's selfish antics and selfish decisions. And it's just... My goodness, people have sacrificed so much for this country, and then to see people acting selfish like this, it's just par for the course for all the other the invasion of our country that's taken place, the deliberate decline that's taken place, the selfish antics of people like Ken Buck just seems to be par for the course, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody's going to run for Congress, they ought to have the personal integrity, the testicular fortitude, as I call it, to actually stay in for the length of their term. I mean,
especially when you're Ken Buck, one of the guys who made it such an awful place to be for Republicans right now. You caused all this division and chaos, and now you don't like it, and now you want to leave. It's a good thing we got a break here. Jeff, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
What do we have from Joe Biden? Oh, let me put forward a $7.3 trillion budget. You not realize how bad this is? That we're going to be at 150% of GDP, which is unsustainable? We can't survive as a country with numbers that bad? The U.S. national debt could quickly reach 130% of GDP, shooting well past $50 trillion. Let me tell you, it may sound good on paper if you're not part of the wealthy, but every corporation that they raise taxes on, every rich person they raise taxes on, that's less money they're going to be spending and investing that's going to benefit all of us and create jobs and goods and services at prices that we can actually afford and that we want, need, and desire.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Coins, get more coin from Hardy's Coins.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas and Saunas Live Well, Feel Better Studio. Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you, not only right now, but into the 9 o'clock hour as well. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Grandpa Lou, how are you? Thanks for the call.
Oh, good morning, my friend, and I just wanted to remind everybody of all our January 6th prisoners and all those deployed, of our servicemen and all those that served. And I wanted to comment on the West Point thing yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about break my heart. What in the world is going on? It's so sad. All you can do is bow your head and pray, I guess.
That's the best thing to do anyway, right? Yeah.
Yeah, just so sad.
Duty, honor, country. For those who missed it earlier in the week, one of our listeners in the Flathead sent this to me, and then Fox News had a story, I think it was early yesterday morning, that West Point, U.S. Military Academy, is dropping duty, honor, country from their mission statement. Instead, they're just replacing it with the words Army values. It's like, okay, what? Duty, honor, country means something, right? And anybody who hears that all across America, like, it means something to them, right? Like, for people who know nothing about the Army, what does Army values mean to them? I mean, I could tell you what Army values mean, you know, for those who know the acronym and the acronym leadership, loyalty, duty, et cetera, you know, go on down the list. But what is some kid out there who knows nothing about Army values, what does that say to him and why he or she might want to go to West Point, right? Whereas duty, honor, country, it's like, okay, I get that. That makes sense. And it also says this is who we're looking for to come and serve, right?
Yes. And to all those that served, we wrote a blank check. Some didn't come home, and man, oh man, it just, thank you for everything that you do, and thank you for your service, my friend.
Hey, thanks for yours. Thanks to all who served. I know we've got a ton of veterans who listen to the show, a ton of law enforcement currently serving or law enforcement veterans as well. And so, yeah, that's why it's just so humbling to be on the microphone on a show like this, because, man, there are so many incredible patriots that listen to this show and listen to your phone calls. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Just about out of time here in the 8 o'clock hour of this show. Oh, Greg Gutfeld. Did you guys hear about these crazy stories out of Canada? I might have to save a little of this for the 9 o'clock hour of the show, since we're running short on time. There's a proposed Canada law that would allow judges to imprison people for life for speech crimes. For speech crimes. That's just the latest out of the you know, the crazy, tyrannical Trudeau regime in Canada. of late here. But hey, would you be surprised to see something like that getting forced here in America eventually as well? Of course you wouldn't. I think even the DailyWire.com, Greg Gutfeld had an epic monologue on that topic last night. I think it's the Daily Wire that has a story about that as well. But yeah, I'll get to that for you coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Oh yeah, here you go. New York Post slams Canadian thought crime bill that goes full Minority Report. The New York Post editorial board published a piece Thursday laying into a recently introduced bill that they argued would turn Canada into an Orwellian nightmare. The bill, referred to as the Online Harms Act, would place citizens on house arrest if social media posts provide reasonable grounds for officials to believe that someone will commit a crime. But then there's more to it with the whole anti-free speech angle as well that Gutfeld gets into. So that and more coming up.